All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, October 4th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a four-game MLB playoff slate of the Division Series starting today, so that'll be super fun. College football's underway, and obviously we have NFL tomorrow, so it should be a fun weekend here of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Saber Sim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then we do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you are from. So we got the Saber Sim tab pulled up here. I have the upcoming MLB slate pulled up here. We didn't have any questions prior to the show, so it gives us some opportunities here to run some builds and try out some, just kind of talk some MLB playoff strategy a little bit here. So pretty interesting, always this time of year. Things are always a little bit different in the playoffs. I think that things can change strategically for teams very, very fast. And, you know, models might not always pick up on those things right away. You know what I mean? So always kind of be aware of that. When it comes to like trends with teams, models tend to need more data, right? And when there's a little bit less, there's a little bit more room for manipulation. You know what I mean? So maybe you find yourself in a situation where, you know, okay, hey, Detroit is going with Melton as the opener, and then they have Montero. But maybe, you know, we have Melton projected for like 3 to 4 innings, and closer to 4, right? And maybe we think he's actually going to go like 2. You know, maybe we think they're going to go with a quicker, shorter leash here. Maybe like one time through the order. Like, hey, I think it's the playoffs. I really don't think Melton is going to go through the order more than one time. Okay, you know, well, I think he's going to go 3 innings max rather than 3.85. Maybe I should lower his projection accordingly. How many do I think Montero's going to go, you know, more than one time through the order, right? So just like things like that, you can kind of think about a little bit deeper here with regard to some MLB strategy in the playoffs. But before we run an MLB build, looks like we do have our first question today. So Eric said, hey, Andrew, in writing stat rules and you get to the opposing team section, does that mean the opposite team in the same game of your primary stack, or does it mean any other team? Good question. So this would mean the opposite team for your primary stack. Okay, so like let's hop over to NFL. So let's say I go in, right, and I write a rule. And then I'm going to say add new rule. I'm going to go to stack. Maybe I go advanced. I'm going to say a QB plus one with a pass catcher, right? I'm going to say I want a quarterback with at least one wide receiver or tight end here, at least, right? Greater than or equal to. And then let's say I go to opposing team. Let me actually remove the question, remove my face. So QB equals one, wide receiver slash tight end greater than or equal to one. I check opposing team, and then I'm going to set maybe wide receiver, tight end, greater than or equal to one as well, right? So what I'm saying is I want at least a quarterback with a pass catcher and a pass catcher on the opposite side. This would mean that, hey, when I, you know, the builder can use any team in this dropdown, right? Any of these teams that are checked. So this would say when I use Indianapolis as the primary, if I have Daniel Jones quarterback, then that means I need at least one pass catcher from his team And then I need one pass catcher from Vegas, okay? But if I use Dak Prescott and the Cowboys as the primary, then the opposing team now becomes the Jets. So the opposing is always opposite of your primary stack. But good clarification. Follow-up was been writing some rules for primary stacks to guarantee batting order spots and maybe wanted to experiment with guaranteeing certain batting order positions in smaller stacks. Hit a wall there. Interesting. So in writing primary stacks, right? So kind of getting back to like the MLB stuff. See if I can think of anything here. Stack advanced, maybe. Okay, so let's say like you say, okay, I want like a five stack on one team. I see. In smaller stacks. Huh. Okay, so if you're trying to guarantee positions in smaller stacks, what I would say is probably don't use a stack rule and maybe use a group rule where you would say probably if at least This one's kind of hard, actually. I'm wondering if you could go like, if no more than two. No. Okay, I think I have an idea. I would say if at least one, click your positions. I got to move over again. So what we're trying to do is curate batting order spots in smaller stacks. I have an idea. So let's just assume, right, for the example, that you don't want 7, 8, 9 batters to be in a two stack, right? Simple example. Like, hey, if I'm in a two stack, I want to stack higher in the order. If I'm going to use 7, 8, 9 batters, I want them to be bigger stacks, 3 stacks, 4 stacks, 5 stacks, right? So I could do something where I say, if at least one team, click the batting positions, batting order greater than 6, okay? Then use at least 2 on the same team. So what this would say is, okay, if I am going to use at least one player on a team whose batting order is greater than 6, so this means 7, 8, 9, it's not greater than or equal to, it's greater than 6. So if I'm using a 7, 8, 9 hitter from a team, I must use at least 2 other players or 2 other batters rather on the same team. This would guarantee that it is at minimum a 3-stack. It would also guarantee that any 2-stack has to be 1 through 6 batters, right? You could change this. You know, you could be more aggressive with the batting order. You could say, hey, if I'm going to use a 7, 8, 9, I want to make it at least a 4-stack, right? You can kind of tailor this. But this is probably as close as I can think of right now of how to curate batting order spots based on specific stack sizing. So give that a shot. Hopefully it helps. But first thing I can think of here. All right. Next question. What would you say is the best time to build lineups for the NFL main slate? Good question. So I think that generally a lot of the news around players like well, first off, let's actually work backwards. Inactives come out 90 minutes prior to game starting. Okay. So for like the main slate on a Sunday, games start at 1 p.m. Eastern, 90 minutes before that, which is 11:30 a.m. Eastern. The inactives will be released. It usually takes us a little bit of time. I don't know how much time on average. We could probably check. Go to Discord. So we can get like a sense for how this works. So like, for instance, we go to the NFL lineup alert channel, and then we're going to try and go back here. 29. What day was the last? What was Sunday? Sunday was the 28th. Okay, so we're close. It's Sunday night football. Okay, yeah. So, like, the inactives come out, you know, and then we start working on them, right? Like around, it looks like inactives come out at 8:30 my time. So then about like 15 minutes after the first sims start finishing, you know, these are all about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I'd say within about 30 minutes of the slate of inactives coming out, we will have all of the updates. The NFL lineup alert channel is like a great resource if you guys aren't aware of it. You know, all of these projection adjustments come in, props change, right? Vegas lines and all that. So, you know, all those things can move projections a little bit, right? Like, hey, Drake London wasn't inactive, but his projection changed. Yeah, well, you know, there might have been, you know, some line movement, things like that, right? Get accounted for. So I'd say within about 30 minutes, usually all of that. So that is the best time to build, is, or at least do your final run. You know, I think that's like a better way of putting it. It is okay to build lineups before that. It is okay to build lineups, in my opinion, on Saturday, right? I think it's, you know, final injury reports come out on Friday afternoons. There's no injury report on Saturday. There is some news on Saturday when guys get ruled out, you know, like usually it can be like a little bit later in the evening, like, oh, so-and-so is expected to play, so-and-so is not expected to play. But I think after Friday injury reports, I think it's okay to run builds on Saturdays, kind of get a sense of the slate, start to kind of dial things in. But then I would just do that final run after the inactives come out, just to make sure you know, you don't end up in a situation where maybe somebody was a surprise scratch. You know, we saw that last week in the Dublin game. You know, Jaylen Warren was like a surprise scratch starting running back for the Steelers. And like, you definitely needed to rebuild to take advantage of the Kenneth Gainwell news, right? So I think there's some opportunities there to just dial everything in, make sure everything looks and seems good. If you really like what you did previously, what I think you could do is you could come into the app, wait for those inactive sims to run, and then if your lightning bolt turns red up here in the top left, this will say, hey, there are players in your lineups that now have a zero projection. You can either I would recommend rebuilding from that point, or you could quick swap them out. So just to clarify, because I know Jimmy's falling up here, about 60 minutes prior to lock is like usually good, but watch in that NFL lineup alert channel. If you missed it, our team does post a message and saying like, hey, you know, this is it for like, this is our last sim or whatever it may be, or just like give like some type of update. Like here, like Matt was like, I'll be running one more sim for the Giants kicker, but early game sims are good to go, like for the classic slates, right? So just be on the lookout for that message. And then once you see that, you should be, you know, okay, I'm done. I'm good. No more updates to come, at least until the afternoon games, right? So the afternoon inactive window will kind of be like the same thing. All right. Jimmy said, thanks. You're welcome. Happy to help. Eric said, thank you. We'll go for it. Yeah, I just kind of was thinking, if I have an MLB 5-2 stack to guarantee the two stack is a top 3-5 in the batting order or something similar. Yeah, so like what we wrote, you can like 100% do it that way, right? So you would just say like, if at least you would just change some of the numbers, right? It's like I think we had batting order greater than six, you would use batting order greater than five, right? If you want like a two stack versus a three stack, right? At least this, at least that. So just kind of tailoring it, tweaking it a little bit, but like that template, that format should get you what you're looking for. Cool. All right. Well, we were talking a little bit of MLB when we got the show started, answered a couple questions along the way, which is great. Why don't we just like build a line, run a build with that rule on? So I'm going to go back and actually put it on. So we were talking about if at least one from a team batting order greater than five, we'll write it the way Eric wants, then use at least two on the same team. So we're basically trying to curate our two stacks to say two stacks must be one through five hitters. So we put this on, and I like to use the don't use batters against opposing pitchers. I'm not really going to change anything else. We'll just build like 1500 lineups. That should be plenty. Two small adjustments, two projections, and kick off the build. So this is actually a good test of the rule. Just make sure it's written correctly. If lineups do not build, then that means we messed something up. If lineups do build, then that means our rule is written correctly. So like lineups are already building, so that's good. You know, we're seeing the number tick up here. So that means we didn't break anything. So that's always a good first step. Okay. Let's close our pool. Okay, this looks pretty good. All right, cool. So we ran this build, sim ran, contest sim ran, diversifier ran, right? We're about ready to start kind of dialing it in here. So why don't we go and look at some of these two stacks, just kind of eyeball them. So this is a 5-2. The two stack is Toronto, and it's Vlad and Barger, 3-4 hitters. So that's good, right? Just the way we wanted it. Another 5-2 here. It looks like the Cubs are the two stack, and we're getting Tucker and Suzuki, 3-4 hitters, right? We are getting some bottom of the order hitters, right? We're getting Kike Hernandez, but he's part of the five stack, right? So this all kind of seems like it's working. We're getting Pajes here in like a five stack, but then we're getting a 3-5 Toronto. So rules working as expected here, and then we're still getting bottom of the order hitters in the bigger stacks. So that's great stuff. Okay, we go over to our stack exposures. Well-correlated lineups. Seems good. Okay. Pretty spread out on the stacks. Yankees, Seattle. See, I always find this interesting, right? Like, you might look at the all stacks tab. You're like, oh, I'm taking stands on, like, the Yankees, Toronto, Dodgers, Milwaukee. You know, Seattle is, like, our fifth listed stack here, right? But if we actually go into the five stacks, they are, like, almost tied for our highest five-stack exposure, and they are way ahead of Chicago, Dodgers, and Toronto, right? So, like, sometimes going through these individual tabs can, like, give you – valuable information where like, oh, I didn't actually realize I was taking such a big stand on Seattle. I thought I was actually taking more of a stand on Toronto, but my Toronto five stack exposure is 5% and my Seattle five stack is 16. So it's almost 3x, right? So sometimes you can just like get a little bit more information from these specific stack tabs. So just some food for thought there. Okay, we come in and we're gonna look at some pitchers. Okay, so kind of a big stand on Kirby here, which makes sense. Like Detroit, we didn't really see a lot of Detroit here. You know, lowest team stack by far, 2%. Like we're way under on Detroit. So we really like Kirby here. That's like our big stand on the slate. You know, it is like a pitcher's ballpark and all those things. So, and they have a really low team total. So I'm okay with the Kirby stand. He's 52% owned. We have 88%. That's, you know, less than 2x the field, but we're getting some leverage there, right? And then we're under on Sanchez. And then kind of some in between, but like our big stands, right, for Kirby against Sanchez. Go over to batters. Kind of spread out leverage here, right? Interesting. Like it's like our top exposures, or exposures rather, are a Dodger hitter, a Yankee hitter, a Toronto, a Chicago, a Milwaukee, right? Like five different teams rounding out our top exposures. I think it's kind of cool. I think that kind of speaks to like what portfolio does, of like spreading things around and not being too concentrated. You know, it's not all the Dodgers, not all the Yankees, not all Toronto. You know, five different teams are represented in our top five batter exposures. And then we start to see a little overlap with Milwaukee, with Toronto, but I don't think it's bad at all here. I actually like it. So I'm pretty happy with the way our lineups are looking here, but it's just good to put eyes on everything, you know, put eyes on the stack constructions, put eyes on your team stacks and your five stacks, put eyes on your pitchers, put eyes on your top leverages, your top negative leverages, right? What players you're rooting against versus for, and make sure you agree with kind of all of those situations, how much risk you're assuming. Some people might see that Kirby exposure and be like, that's, you know, too much for me. I want to lower it. That's okay. You know, go in, set a max exposure, and get him to a point where you are more comfortable, right? For me, 88 was fine. So I'm totally cool with it. But that about does it here. It looks like Eric was pretty happy. We were able to figure out that rule. So really hope that helps you out today, and you have a good day here. But answered some questions, knocked out a slate demo. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.